Welcome to the Wisconsin Wrestler Podcast with your co-hosts Teague Fenwick and Steve Lurkwood.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Wisconsin Wrestler Podcast. I'm your host, Teague Fenwick, coming to you from Holman. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Steve Lurkwin. Steve, great to be here.
As always, Teague, pumped to be here. A little tired. It's kind of got that that subdued feeling, right? The season's kind of winding down, but tell you, it was a good one. A lot of fun this weekend.
It really was. I mean, state tournament weekend, individual state tournament weekend. Great time. A lot of action, a lot of socializing in 3 days. It's just, it's really hard to wrap your head around everything that happened. So we're going to do our best to recap it. I guess before we get into state stuff, Steve, we got some gear.
We do.
I finally made it to, folks might have saw it on the state preview show on Wednesday, which, by the way, the state preview show on Wednesday was fun. I am okay for people who haven't seen me since then. We did it just fine on that hip toss with Jake, but we had a great time with it. And also, I sold it well because some people asked if I was actually all right. Remember, I watched a lot of WWE as a kid, so I learned from the best.
So you were acting, Teague, is what you were saying.
A little bit, yeah.
Just a skosh, man. People were worried. I had some texts afterwards. I was looking like, is he okay? Is he okay? I'm like, yeah, I think he was playing it up a little bit.
Well, Steve, my shirt, like I said, it was on the table for the state show. I got some gear from the Pink Army, a Kickapoo Lafarge at Youth Initiative. And love it. It's tie-dye as well, which makes me enjoy it even more. Very fitting to have it for the end of the year because it was a fun year, again, to know that team and covering them. And thank you, Coach Leah Gross, for the gear. Got some other gear, and you got some as well, Steve, that I'll make sure to send your way. Maybe I'll hold it hostage for 2 years.
Perfect.
I'm excited. There's some other fun things I got, but I'm going to debut them at the right time.
There you go.
Steve, I see you're rocking the flannel.
Yeah, I am. Well, I was going to say, I thought you were going to talk about all the nachos and brats and all that other stuff we got as well. That was pretty sweet.
Oh, so. Yeah. No, they helped us out with making sure we were well fed during the commentary. So that was very awesome of them.
Tim said, you guys look tired. Yes. Yes, I agree. We are tired. So I got two things.
Figure out the hair situation right now.
So I got a hat on. Could cover everything up, right? I got two things. One, I just got the hat this weekend. You know, normally I put them in order of everything that I got, but for this one in particular, I don't get a lot of hats, so I could move this one right up. This one's is from if you can see it or not. Teague, one of our favorite photographers out there, right? Anytime we need a photo, he goes and sends us Paul Stump. For PS Portraits, actually a hat made by Trevor Verhagen, 920 Hat Company. So I'm sporting this one tonight. Paul's a great guy, huge follower of wrestling. And then this one, Teague, my flannel. I was supposed to wear this one last week, but out of respect for my alma mater, I did not. Jacob DeRocher and Wyatt Knockreiner had a match first round. So I love my River Valley guys, but I bleed blue, so I had to. Couldn't wear this one last week, but I'm wearing it this week. Dan Makovic and TJ Winicky, great coaches for River Valley. And I wear this darn thing all the time. In fact, gosh, did I wear it today to school? I can't remember. It doesn't matter, but good stuff.
All right, that's the gear that we got. Steve, some milestones that we got along the way. This weekend, I believe it was all from, I think there might have been one from sectionals, but guys that reached 100 wins, Brody Toledo, all-name team from Burlington, got win number 100. Marshfield's Owen Griesbach. Marathon's Blake Underwood. Steve, as a sophomore.
Yeah. Got it in the, semis. That's right.
And O'Connell Falls' Cole Bozeal also got his 100th win. 150 win marks. We got Stone Pomeroy from a Random Lake, who... the second biggest win of his tournament, I would say. Braden Albee from Aretas Altoona got 150. Caleb Delabru from Luxembourg Casco hit the 150 mark. Same thing as Pomeroy. Maybe not the biggest win of his tournament, but still an awesome milestone. And a new London to Wyatt Migulski, capping off his career with win 150.
Teague, it was funny. Right when you mentioned Cole Bolzeal on the podcast, his name popped up on my screen. He liked one of our Instagram posts, and his name popped up right as you said it. It was kind of cool.
Hey, thank you, Cole. That's what we got for milestones. Real quick, I'm just going to put the order of operations in here, but just like we did for the preview last week, we're going girls, Division 3, Division 2, Division 1. And what we're going to do, we're just going to talk about the finals and talk about some other matches along the way, talk about the performances as well, just give our general thoughts on the bracket. If we forget anything, apologies, but the brain is a little mush right now. I hate to throw out the excuse right away, but we are going to do our best to give every bracket justice. So what do you say?
I will say this, this one actually is the hardest one to recap because everybody was there, right? every fan pretty much was at the event. And how do you recap something everybody else saw? But we'll do our best and maybe we see something. If you see something in the chat, you want to throw it on there, we'll go ahead and pop it on there.
Oh, Kyle, Charlie also finished with 152 wins. So Kyle, send Charlie's picture with, I'm guessing, a banner our way, and we'll get that posted for you. Congratulations, Charlie. So girls, 100 pounds. Steve, I guess we're also going to be talking about our picks, and what a fitting one to start off with in that avenue in the finals at 100. Ava Gardner, the people's champ, now state champion, beat Brooke Corrigan 17-4 in the finals. What a win for Gardner over the two-time state champion. I remember being on the call for it, and I think it was somewhat close early on, but every time we looked over, because we're trying to cover all four mats, Ava just kept pulling away, and she got the big win over Sonnentag in the semis, 9-7. Both were pretty confident in Corrigan, I would say. And hand up on that one, we were very wrong, but also very happy as well just covering Ava the last couple of years, all the work that she's put in to earn that state title, and doing it over a really high-quality opponent at that.
Yeah, very much a major decision, right? I took a look last year, Teague, and she lost to her. Ava lost to Corrigan last year in the semi, 7-5, so avenge that loss from last year. And number 13 seed, I'll try to take a look too and find out if there's any high seeds anywhere in the brackets that won, but I found this one, number 13 seed, Claire Yauch. She took fifth. She avenged a preliminary loss over Kylie Klum of Westby and ended up taking fifth place.
Going to 107 pounds. Taylor Whiting of the Whiting family still undefeated in the Kohl Center. The sophomore from Alina beat Pulaski's Ava Peters 3-2. What a great finals match. And Whiting again at just coming up clutch. Another note from this one. How about Brooklyn Lull? Her only year of high school wrestling, as far as I know, ends up getting fifth her senior year. That was awesome to see and really happy. Her brother Riley Lull got to be in the corner. I think I heard someone say that it might have been the most nervous Riley's been. And he's someone who's had quite a few matches at the Kohl Center.
Right. Yeah, she was a 10 seed. Caitlin Lambray's Holman, you know her well. Right? She was 11 seed. Both of them took fifth and sixth. Taylor Whiting, second state championship. Closed that one out with a takedown in the third period. That one, Teague, was that one closer than you thought that was going to be? Or were you right on with that one?
Well, it was 3-1 at sectionals last year. I did pick Peters in this one. Whiting still looked like she controlled things pretty well. I mean, Peters is an awesome wrestler, and it still ended up being a one-point match. But, yeah, I'll be one to say when I'm wrong, but that went about as close as I thought it would. Going on to 114 pounds. Angie Bianchi from Two Rivers, a state runner-up last year, gets the title this year, beats Wausau West Savannah Danielson 12-0 in the finals. Danielson had to beat Sophia Wagner, who has a 6 seed, had quite a good run at two of the semis, and Wagner out of Princeton Green Lake ended up finishing at fifth. But Bianchi, well, she had that close match, another dark horse, Steve. We got to give credit to the 12 seed Dakota Athey from Bayport, who made it to the semis. Bianchi had an 8-6 match in the semis and then 12-0 over Danielson, who's a great wrestler in her own right. Of course, there's that first round matchup too, Mackenzie Usher over Lauren V, where some folks were picking V as their dark horse to potentially make the semis, and Usher got a nice win there in the quarters.
Yeah, right on, T. You nailed all my notes. Bianchi looked pretty dominant in that finals. Two takedowns, two different sets of near fall. That's pretty much going to seal the deal for you. It did look kind of cool. Nasa looked pretty relieved over there in the quarters. Nice to see that that celebration with her daughter and fellow coaches.
Oh, 100%. On to 120 pounds. MJ and Newman, the two seed from Manitowoc Lincoln, beats at Mineral Points Delia Collins, the one seed, 4-2 in the final, Steve. And here's the thing, going into the third period, Newman looked great all weekend. I mean, the way that she wrestled on top was just absolutely dominant. And when they went to the third and Collins was on top, you were just waiting for the Collins turn, because here's the thing with the one seed. She was losing in both of her matches in the quarters and the semis. She almost got pinned in a cradle, or she was cradled up pretty tight by the nine seed Amari Richard from Nina in the quarters and managed to get out of that. But Collins does have the clutch gene, but in the end, Newman just a little too much to handle for her.
Yeah, MJ scored all her points in the first tee, and we kind of said it. I heard you guys say it on air. Be careful. Don't take down on any Mineral Point wrestler. I was saying it all weekend. I thought 120 pounds on the girls' side was the deepest weight class. And just all, I think all the top six could have won that one. But MJ Newman really, really impressed me in this tournament.
Also, the Collins-Fletcher match, one of my favorite matches of the state tournament. I went with Collins. You went with Maya Delaray. And when you saw Newman take out Delaray in 1-23, that was the sign that she just looked like she was ready for a title. On to 126 pounds. Steve, this was probably one of our favorite moments, or my favorite moments of the tournament. Girls 126 ended up being wrestled the same weight class as guys 138. And Maddie Peach won 7-1. Her brother Tyson won a title. They both won at the same time, which is just an all-time moment. I know the Corrigans won it the same year, but that wasn't at the same weight, and it was in two different settings at two different times, which is still awesome, right? But it was really hard to cap at this moment. Peach did beat Hudson's Natalie Clevetter 7-1 in the finals, but props to Clevetter for making it to the finals. And also, how about the seven-seeded freshman Frankie Groom from North Crawford Seneca making the semis? Ended up placing at fifth in this bracket.
Yeah, Maddie Peach, that was a pretty cool moment you're just talking about. And she pretty much sealed the deal in the second period, got five, a near fall for three and a near fall for two. That pretty much sealed the deal for her.
Also, give a shout out to Lily Becker. I know Beast coach Mike Rakowicki has nothing but great things to say about his senior captains and Becker and Botch, who we'll be talking about later. Shout out to her on a great career and a sixth place finish in her last tournament. Going on now to a 132. Lily Banks in the finals of the one seed, 47-0, Steve, beats Riley Hanrahan from Black River Falls. Hanrahan was the seventh seed, pinned her way to the semis with a huge pin over the two seed at Josie Stokowski, and then beat Sophia Galoff from Brilliant in the semis at 9-6. This is, again, another loaded bracket. And 5-2 for Banks in the finals, 8-2 over Poplowski in the semis. You had a battle to place in this one, but Banks just really showed her dominance throughout the year, and it carried all the way through the state finals.
Hanrahan, you talked about that seventh seed. That's impressive, making all the finals. Take Lily Banks, and you just talked about her, Maddie Peach. Someone put this on the forum. The sophomore class, how dominant were they on the girls' side? Six of the champs were sophomores. It just seems like everywhere you look, sophomore, sophomore, sophomore. So they'll be around for a few years.
Wow. And 138. And that's all I can say to that is wow.
Yeah.
they had a lot of
promise. Speaking of a sophomore, Teague, why don't you tell us about 138?
Well, yeah. Yep. Still the one seed, Carlia Chesker. I think it's fair to say maybe untested. I mean, she's just on a whole other level. She beat Steve, one of our friends of the show who made the finals, Tiani Lemieux from a Sturgeon Bay, Sevastopol. Just got to say, I'm so proud of Tiani for making the finals. She beat a really strong two seed in Haley Berg via pin. That seems to be Lemieux's forte. But then Chesker got a pin in 59 seconds in the finals. Also got to see the five seed Mackie Kaz in action for the first time from Melman at GET. And she ended up placing fourth in this bracket. Also in the nine seed, Steve, Emily Anderson ended up making the podium.
Yeah, Chesker, what are you talking? I mean, I should have did a quick look. Her name's on track where he can't click on it right off. But all kinds of falls this year in the state finals of her four matches. She got three falls and a tech fall. So just dominant fashion for Carly.
Hey, Chesker's first round match, wrestler from Kickapoo Lafarge, Gianni Babel.
There you go.
There's a really cool photo on social media of Babel and Anderson wrestled in the first consolation round, and they like had their arms around each other after their match, which was really awesome to see. It was heartwarming for sure. Going on to 145, where Steve, we each had one of our dark horse picks win a title. You had it in the girls division. How much of a dark horse was she, seeding wise, maybe, but talent wise, right? Just so impressive. Harlow Skinnendorf, the 8 seed from Pulaski, beat Sydney Andrews from Turner in the finals at 5-1. Do you remember the quarterfinals with Sokolsky, Steve?
Yeah, Teague, I don't remember the exact score, but I thought she was down by 5, if I remember right, and just battled back. I can't remember what the final score was, like 12-6 or something, but that was impressive.
Yeah, she was on top the whole third period and scored 12 points. She was putting on a clinic against the returning state champ, and it was very impressive to watch. Sokolsky ended up battling her way back to third. Also, a shout-out to Bowman ending her career, part of that great Eau Claire North Husky program. She ended up placing fifth. Steve, another friend of the show, I got to meet her from a Baron, Mikaylee Shirley. So okay. That was a fun moment.
She made my notes too, because she was the 14 seed and she got a medal at the state tournament. So congratulations.
Going on to with 152. Where I did it for the third time in a row, Steve, and once again, my pick failed me. The one seed, the Hailstorm from New London, Haley Krieger, beats Karakugi from Lomira in round three of their battles this year, wins 7-3, and she's just so solid fundamentally, looked great in her finals match. And yeah, I definitely heard about the pick again, which it is what it is, but this was another fun bracket. Kugi beat Haley Wieser in the semis 11-2. Mackenzie Schiedermeier, who had snuck under the radar for us on the season, ended up making the semis as well as the 5 seed. But what else is there to say about Krieger, Steve, except making history after a couple of the other 2-time champs fell?
Yeah, just a solid performance in the finals. Got a takedown in each one of the periods. Just a steady wrestler, right? And Teague, I can't remember if you mentioned her or not, but a 10 seed Pesky from River Ridge comes out and takes third place. A lot of times you see those higher seeds, maybe they get a fifth or sixth seed, something like that. And Brittany was able to just, you know, come on in there and get a third place medal.
Going on to 165. Before we do that, Mary, it was also great meeting you as well. We got a couple comments from people. I'm not in a Dippin' Dots coma. I only had 8 dots this weekend, which is fine. After Bi-State, that was a little overwhelming, so the pace slowed a little bit. But it was great meeting everybody, and the dots are always a fun thing to do at tournaments wherever they're at or when people bring them.
Could someone do a Google search of how much sugar content is in one serving of Dippin' Dots?
Sounds like a Dylan Lamb project. He's pretty quick with
pop that bad boy on there, and we'll do 8 times that, Teague. That's possibly not just a sugar coma. Actually, this could be a coma coming.
Steve, at 1-65, the battle in the finals, a Southwest battle, Rachel Schauer of Fenimore makes the finals again. This go around, she wins it. Had four pins on her way to the title. She beat what I told, I called her the best kept secret in Wisconsin, is what I told Belmont Platteville coach Emmerich Williams. But how about Callie Davis, the 18 from Belmont Platteville, making the finals? Got a pin over the two-time state champion, Syriana Reinwald from Horicon. And this was a tough bracket because Reinwald didn't even make the podium. A Breckheimer beat her in the blood round. But you see someone like Sophia Bacino and Alicia Berg wrestling for third. And this bracket was crazy. And you throw in the 8 seed doing what she did. And this one lived up to the hype and then some.
Yes, sure did. Rachel Schauer last year was a runner-up. This year, 4 pins. So great performance from her. Teague, and we got a 15 grams of sugar per serving. That can't be right.
How many servings? It's not a lot. It's just dots.
Well, I know, but there's got to be, I mean, what is it? Is it 8 servings in one of those little scoops then? I mean, come on, that's got to be.
120 grams of sugar in 3 days isn't bad, right?
No, that's not bad at all. It's not as bad as what I thought it was. Yeah. I'm just thinking one of those scoops full of bowls full of dots have got to be more than – it's got to be multiple servings then.
No, I refuse to believe it. Steve, you were right, though, with the shower pick on this one. So nice work in this bracket.
Hey, I'm doing all right on my picks.
At 185 – Wittenberg of Burnham Woods of Brooke Huffman completes what we called on the broadcast the immaculate season. 41 wins, 41 pins. She beats last year's state champ Ella Creighton in the finals, a pin and 119. And wow, I mean this, when you say someone wrestles mean in wrestling, it's not a diss, right? But she gets after it when she's on the mat. And to see her for the first time in person was just astounding. With the way that she wrestled. Also, got to say hi to her too real quick, and she's very nice as well. So, Brooke wins the championship there. Creighton and Kayla Craig of Reagan, they had a pretty good semi from what I remember. And I can't believe, so Creighton and Anna Logue didn't meet, which I wanted to maybe see that for the third or fourth time this year. But any other thoughts on this bracket, Steve?
Yeah, I was just going to say congrats, Ella Creighton. Great career, state champ last year. Teague, I did a quick look and I checked on that. Maybe somebody in the that's listening can check in. And they said 41 pins. I looked through Brooks and she moved up maybe at, they're talking just 185 because she did move up to 235. And I see one time she had a ultimate tiebreaker at 235 with Savannah Jones.
It was entered incorrectly. It was a first period pin.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So otherwise, with that being said, thanks for the correction. And the only time she did not pin someone in the first period was when she moved up to 235 and she wrestled Teague, the person you're going to talk about next. That was Madison Burns. That was a second period pin.
Also, shout out to the 15 seed, Maddie Sorensen, who ended up placing 6th in this bracket as a freshman. Going to 235, last wait for the girls. Madison Burns wins her second state title again in pinning fashion, beats Berlin's Olivia Davey. And Davey had to take out the returning runner-up Isabella Reeb from Wisconsin Lutheran. That was a fall in 339. Madison Burns, I mean, Steve, you were right next to us. We were talking. Kevin Black was up and Joe was interviewing him. And I said, guys, we should maybe announce these names real quick because there is a lot of pinners on the mat right now.
Yes, there are.
And Burns was among one of them in that last weight class. So Burns could be going for 3 next year at 235. Any other thoughts on the 235 bracket, Steve-O?
No, Madison Burns, great year. All first period pins as well. So just dominant in that weight class.
All right, which brings us to our first wrestler of the year. Are we flipping a coin or something, or do you just want me to roll with it first?
Yeah, why don't you go first, then I'll go. Then I'll go first at D3. That sounds good.
You got it. This one, I think ultimately came down to two people. And also, folks, when we pick this, we can't choose 4-timers, which isn't applicable here, and they do have to be a state champion. Basically, our criteria, it's, I don't know, what would you say, Steve? It's whatever we want to be, right? It can be any different thing.
There's no set criteria. I think we've picked in the past either a great I kind of follow the same thing, right? If I do it at one, meaning did they have the best tournament or did they have the best year, right? Because there is a difference. So I think this year, as I looked at my picks overall, I went with, did they have the best year, right? Not just a fantastic tournament.
Well, Steve, ultimately for me, this came down to two people, and Huffman went 41 for 41, right? That is hard to pick against, but I'm kind of banking on the fact she's just a freshman too. We don't choose freshmen a whole lot. So if she does it again, yeah, we'd be hard pressed to pick against her. And Steve, one of our rules is we can't pick four timers. There's right. nothing about the fact that we can't pick three timers, right?
Sure.
And you think about how much harder it is to win a girls' brackets now. I mean, we saw two of the other two timers go down in this tournament. And this young lady, she beat her opponent in the finals for a third time this year, which it gets hard to beat a good opponent like that each time you wrestle them. And I think what really puts it over the top is I did hear that she happily volunteered, Steve, her schedule next weekend. She's officiating Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And one thing I love about all these girls is a lot of them are doing what they can to grow the sport and give back to it. So I think her, not only with her resume, but also doing her part and happily doing her part to help grow women's wrestling. I'm going with Miss Haley Krieger from New London. That does not guarantee I'm picking her to win state next year, though. But I am taking Haley. So, Haley, congratulations. Congratulations to all the girls on your state titles this year.
Teague, it's funny. As I was looking down, I think this was the hardest. Girls were the hardest one to pick. The guys, I can narrow it down to two or three. Literally, Teague, there is probably 8 of the 12 weight classes you can make a good argument for each one. Right? Ava Gardner knocks off a 2-time state champ. Angie Bianchi looked pretty dominant, undefeated in her year. MJ Newman, in my opinion, wins the toughest weight class. Maddie Peach, she looks dominant, right? Lily Banks, Harlow Skinador beats a state champ. We talked about Rachel Schauer a little bit. Madison Burns dominant. To me, it came down to you talked about it. Three different ones. I was talking about Maddie Peach. She had a dominant year. It's like you, Teague. I mean, people might get upset. I didn't pick Brooke Hoffman because she was a freshman, but can you argue that anybody had a more dominant year than she did overall? And all pins in the first period except for one. That's crazy. But, you know, I'm still going to go. You talked about not picking somebody. I think just as a dominant a year, I don't know if it was all first period pins. I didn't look at her whole profile, but just Carly Jesker is my wrestler of the year. With her second state championship.
All right, going on to Division III, 106 pounds. Aiden Grudenfelder from Pecatonica Argyle, state runner-up last year, a state champion this year, beats Blake Underwood 1-0 in the finals to capture that state title. Underwood and Johnson met for the third time in the semis, as many were expecting, and Underwood won 2-0. They really like to have their pitchers' duels. Those two
right
do. Props to Grudenfelder for his state title. And again, not an easy win by any means, right? He had to work for that one. And yeah, those were a couple of just notes from my bracket on that.
Grudenfelder, Underwood rematch of semis last year, which is a battle last year. Teague, I tell you what, that was clutch. Getting a ride out for the 1-0, that was clutch, you know, in the third period. Not a lot of people can pull that off, and he was tough on top.
Also, Steve, I didn't know this. I know Underwood is looking to be Marathon's first state champion, but still the Raiders' first state finalist.
Oh, really? I didn't know
making
that.
Making history. Yep.
Yeah.
On to 113.
Oh, Teague, I will say this. I did look this up. Sorry for the Pecatonica has two champs. This is the first combo. This is the first Peck Argyle state champ as far as a combined school. And Hayden Volkman of Shiocton, he was the number 11 seed, and he took sixth place in this bracket.
Good run for the freshman Volkman. 100. Speaking of Volkman and Shiocton, I'm bringing my Shiocton Hawaiian shirt next year. And I think those are going to be an idea that pops off across the state. If so, I will be collecting Hawaiian shirts like no other. But the Shiocton coaches for session four wore their shirts, and I had a big case of FOMO, where I felt I need to bring that next year for sure.
Hawaiian shirts and cowboy boots. They all had them on. It looks sweet.
113 pounds. Jake Fitzpatrick beat Kenosha Christian Life's Drew Dolphin in a battle of the state champs. But the senior from Aquinas came out on top. He won 13-6 in his finals. And the story with Jake, I got to see him a few times this year. He looked almost untouchable throughout most of the year. I'd say against Bass, there was a couple of close moments, but he still ended up pulling away in that one. And like I said, all year, he just seemed like he was on a mission for it. He got his second state title, and that was awesome for him.
Yeah, he sure did. And Dolphin, think about how Dolphin, good Dolphin is, right? His only other loss this year was to Bast, who was a state champ in Division One. He only lost to him by one. So just kind of shows you how good Fitzpatrick is, because, you know, I've got to see Dolphin wrestle in person this year, and he's just he's tough, right? He's absolutely tough. So that, I think that that Division III 113-pound weight class was just – it was one of the most stacked as far as ability-wise goes throughout the state.
And a dark horse here, just as I click through the brackets or check it out, but Lucas Orloff of Pecatonica Argyle loses to Fitzpatrick in the quarters, wrestles his way back, and places a third. 0-2, 120 pounds. Steve, I wasn't making the mistake with him a third time. We both went with Koji Campbell in this one. And I'll tell you what, Maddox Wendling from Valders is a very good wrestler. He beat Flaggy 8-4 in the semis. Campbell picking up his third title in style, gets a tech fall in 5 minutes to win the 120-pound title.
Yeah, great kid. Two tech falls, one fall. And shout out to Maddox Wendling, 56-4, great career for him. But Teague, right? It's you look at that weight class and you start to think, man, was it a weak weight class? No, it absolutely was not a weak weight class. It's just Koji Campbell is that good.
Also, Roger Flaggy and Trenton Cornoyer, I got to watch both of their matches. They wrestled in the quarters. Flaggy won 9-7, and they wrestled all the way back to the third place match where Cornoyer got his vengeance. He beat Flaggy 4-3. 126 pounds, a Wyatt Unser, the pinstripe warrior from a Glenwood City, ends his season 52-0, beats a Brody Meese from a Riverdale 6-0 in the finals. And Unser had a great season. It's not flashy the way that he wrestles, but he gets a lot of wins, Steve, and he did it again in the finals with that 6-0 victory. I want to give some props to the sophomore from Riverdale. I'm guessing this won't be the last time we see him in the finals. But just, once again, a great season for Unser.
Yeah, Unser 52-0. Think about that. 52-0. It's unbelievable. But I want to give a shout-out to number 11 seed. I can't read my writing, but Aaron Netter of Stratford. Teague, look at – if you get a chance, look at his bracket. He lost 1-0 in the semis to Brody Meese, who you just talked about, of Riverdale. All of his matches, wins and losses, were 1 point. So pretty sweet there. And Teague, one of your favorite names, Rigoberto Telez, avenged his quarterfinals 1 point loss with a 1 point win later on for fifth.
Our boy from Oostburg ended up on the podium. 132 pounds. Mason Carpenter, a two-time runner-up, wins his finals match, Steve, in the most dramatic fashion you can, right? Goes to sudden victory with a Mineral Points at Roan Carey. Ends up winning 6-2 in what was a great sequence in overtime. We got to see Carey Stevens. I mean, I'm forgetting at this point, part five? I think it was. Stevens won the last three, but Carey ends up coming out on top in the semis 5-4. What was another great match. Stevens ended up wrestling back for third. And yeah, I mean, there is a replay of the live stream. I don't know what else to say about this bracket, but Steve, I'm really happy for Carpenter, especially his senior year.
Yep.
Capturing that state title after being in the finals twice. And I do feel for Roan Carey, man, a three-time runner-up. you know, we try not to be biased or root for people, but I'd be lying if I said I wouldn't be really happy if Carey ends up on top of the podium next year. And I just think that's speaking as a person.
Yeah, big win, Teague, for Mason Carpenter, because Rowan Carey is tough. I was kind of taking a look at this. This is the battle of two guys who have been in the finals a lot. Here is Rowan Carey's list of people he's faced in the finals. Fitzpatrick lost 11-8. Campbell lost 12-6, and obviously now Carpenter. Teague, here's a little trivia for you, and I'm not going to ask it to you. I'm just going to tell it to you. But Mason Carpenter, previous to this year, he has lost to Johnson, Dawson Johnson. Obviously, the finals the last two times, and then he lost to him in the semis his freshman year as well. So that's all 3 years wrestled Dawson Johnson. But congratulations on Mason Carpenter. I think he is Oshkosh Lord's fourth champion, if I remember correctly.
I believe among that grouping is Paul Mackey, one of the dads, one of my best friends from Austin. 138 pounds. Dawson Johnson of Cumberland wins his fourth state title. That 58-0 senior caps off the perfect year and almost a perfect career at that. I mean, over 175 pins or 175 wins, 100 pins. Oh, we had a lot of hype for the Johnson-Biba match, and Biba got a good score on Johnson right away, but Johnson just kept attacking and attacking. And talking to Coach Kraft the day before, he said, "Oh, sometimes these guys that come at you a little harder, if someone comes at you like Biba did to Johnson, he just knows how to turn it up, right? And that's why he's a state champion, because he has that mentality. And you really got to see it in this finals match."
Yeah, absolutely. And Teague, I won't go on the apology tour too much until I know we're going to have Dawson on. You've already talked to him, got that approved. So we'll cover that there when I can do it face-to-face. But yeah, I did pick Biba. Teague, I didn't know this. Looking back, Johnson and Biba did wrestle their freshman year. Dawson obviously won that one. They wrestled that state. But yeah, congratulations to Dawson Johnson. You're right. He just has that, I don't want to say clutch gene, but you can just tell that nothing rattles him and he is just tough. So good luck to him. I know he is going to Minnesota next year to wrestle.
And on to 144. Also, Reed Sawyer from New Lisbon had a good tournament, ended up finishing fourth there. At 144 pounds, Ian Crapp of Fenimore, the two seed, faces off against Colton Weiler of Auburndale, and Crapp wins 3-2, finishing off his individual career with a state title. Thinking about Colton Weiler on offense and how these Fenimore guys are with their shot defense, Steve, it was what happens when you have an unstoppable force versus an immovable object, and this time around, the immovable object won.
It was a great match. Brock Hinderman, number 11 seed, took fourth, made it to the semis. Ian Crapp, just an impress. You're right. That performance, he just seemed to be ready for it, right? And, great match with Weiler. This is his third medal. And he is, Teague, the third. I gave you the stat on the show, and I forgot. I should have kept it with me. But he is the third generation of Weilers that have made the finals. So grandpa, dad, and now the younger Weiler, right? So good stuff.
Weiler, two-time finalist, still one more year to capture that state title. Also, how about Zach Moline, the seventh seed, end up placing at third in this bracket. Steve knows on the backside, and I'll talk about this in a couple weight classes, but a lot of IGH guys in that third place match.
Right on.
That was crazy, a crazy observation during the podium matches. Well, we still got a couple more of them to get through. It's 150 pounds. Stone Pomeroy, my dark horse pick, the five seed, beats Blake Carden in Shiocton in the finals. Showed a pure heart because his knee came down. It was like kind of off the mat. I think it just tweaked it a little bit or something, but he got back up. I mean, the last match of his career, ended up not only finishing the match, but winning it in a 5-4 classic. Carden had to win a close match in sudden victory over Ashtonmeister from Poinette. That was 6-1 in the semifinals. That was one of those big ooh moments from the crowd where I think he hit some type of throw or something. But Pomeroy's path, he did have to beat the one seed Siler Zanchevitz in the semis 13-6. Zanchevitz and Imhoff faced off two more times this year just for good measure, Steve. And they actually split matches. Zanchevitz won 5-3 the first time. Imhoff won 5-2 in the third place match.
Yeah, wide open weight class, Steve, that we talked about. Pomeroy and Carton tied with 50 seconds left. Pomeroy got that takedown. And Shayokton Teague still looking for that second state champ in school history. First one was Jay Surprise in 1991. 1 point short, but we know Shayokton's got an impressive program. And there's going to be all kinds of guys looking for that second one coming up here.
157 pounds, a Tristan Stell to the Cerebral Assassin himself, wins his state title, his second state title. Steve, I can't believe this. The first Fenimore Golden Eagle to win a two state titles, which wow. That gets matched a little later on. But beats Micah Kukta, and I can't pull the box score up because I have the whole bracket list up.
Sure.
I think, didn't Kukta score first, or it was close early on, and then Stell just poured it on?
Yeah, you nailed it, Teague, when you were making the call, is that you said Kukta did. He got the first takedown right off the bat, and I think it was you that said it. And you go, well, it looks like Kukta poked the bear because Stelt just laid it on after that.
So Stelt with his second state title. We got to see Troy Dualman and Tyler Sunday one more time in their careers, which I'd love to know how many times those two have wrestled each other. If there's someone from Northwest Wisconsin that has that number for their career, please let me know. But Tyler Sunday won 1-0 in the quarterfinals in that matchup. 165 pounds. Cade Rule beats Torin Vandenbush of Random Lake. The Mineral Point Junior won 5-1 in the finals. Vandenbush had a good match with IGH's Emerson Moan in the semis. That Vandenbush won 5-2. But 5-1. Rule just wrestled really well, because I mean, seeing Vandenbush at this tournament, obviously he's a great wrestler, but Rule just looked like he was firing on all cylinders.
Teagan, the big news, I thought you'd miss it. Cade Rule, Mineral Point, wins the championship. Mineral Point is now the overall leader for individual titles, 56. They're one ahead of Stoughton at 55, so congratulations to that program. I got to look at their wall of all their champions, and it's a state place winners and champions. It is very impressive. And congratulations to Torin Vandenbush. He had a heck of a career, three-time state medalist, and obviously didn't end the way he wanted to, but, man, he's one awesome wrestler.
I think all four Vandenbushes ended up making the finals at some point in their careers over the last 10 years. D3, 175. David Moline wins his second title. The Aquinas senior beat Carter Lueck of a Stratford 7-5 in the finals. Lueck had quite a run in this tournament. I mean, he beat Nash Bank of Oostburg 11-9 in the semis, and then gave Moline all he could handle, Steve. It ended up being a 2-point match. Moline just had a great year, and it just, I don't know. It's tough to beat someone like Moline. He's a 2-time state champ for a reason, right? But still a great finals match between the two. And I honestly thought Moline was going to control the whole bracket pretty well. And I got proven wrong in that sense.
Right. This was a deep weight class. Becker, undefeated from Partyville, coming in. Banco, who, I tell you what, he is impressive. Took third last year in a very strong weight class. He was one of my favorites to win a state championship this year. Lueck, he had one loss coming in. Lost to Moline last year in the semis by fall, so obviously he closed the gap. But Moline, here's my take on Moline. He just doesn't get rattled, Teague, and he's just going to keep on bringing it. And he is another wrestler coming into this tournament that really impressed me.
Also, a few fun consolation matches on the backside, too. I mean, the third-place match, Nash Banco beat William Becker 3-2. You can check out that bracket if you want to see a few more of those matches. I mean, he had a battle to get on the podium at 175. 190, Matthew Roach of Ladysmith, Steve, the 2-seed, believe it or not, we didn't pick him.
Right.
Tyson Martin of Aquinas in 1:13. This was a moment on the call where you followed the crowd because there was a lot going on. And the next thing I know, I just hear a big cheer from the D3 star. Not even a cheer, just a big whoa.
Yep.
And I see Roach has Martin on his back. I don't know if you were looking over there at the time, but I need to rewatch that, because all I know is Martin got a takedown on Roach, and the next thing I saw, he was on his back.
Yeah, it was Martin. Did we both pick Martin? I don't remember, but
we did.
We did. Yeah, he got the first takedown, and all I can tell folks is go back and watch it. This is the most exciting 1:13 you're going to see on Championship Saturday evening. That was pretty awesome.
215 pounds. Jackson Ashramik beats Cedar Girl Belgium's Joe Schroeder. Pins him in 145. He had a close match with Teagles in the semis at 5-2. And Teagles had a close match with Hellendrung, who they've wrestled a couple times this year. That was 6-4 in the quarters. Ashramik had a few losses, Steve, where we're thinking maybe that weight change affected him a little bit. And by the end of the year, just seemed like he was wrestling at his best, which that's where you want to be wrestling at your best. So, Mr. Ashramik, congratulations on your second state title.
Yeah, the reason why I didn't pick him, Teague, is that he had those early losses. But you're right, he was wrestling the best at the end of the year when he had to. And Schroeder, too, Teague, I'm sorry, Schroeder, he looked really good as well. Big win against Bruckup in the semis. Bruckup was my pick, obviously. He can let it fly. So congratulations. That was two guys that I probably necessarily didn't expect to win it, but both of them did well, making it to the finals. Obviously, Ashramik winning it.
And the last weight class here, 285 in D3. Mount Gratz wins his second state title, becoming the second Fenimore wrestler in program history to win two state titles. He beats Wyawega Fremont's Vandenhoffen 2-1. And that one was an unfortunate ending, Steve, because I think Hoffman thought the score was tied the way right. That they were operating at the end, and just kind of was kind of in shock when that match ended.
Right. Yeah. We kind of looked at each other at the end and thought, what was going on there? But yeah, great. Gratz did what he had to do, right? Hoffman did what he had to do. He weathered the storm early, right? You could tell Gratz was in there, and he's a big, big man. But I think his whole game plan was, I'm going to take it to the third. But here's what Gratz proved, Teague. He can wrestle a full 6 minutes, and he can wrestle hard. So, congratulations to him, Gratz, on winning that. I did have a note on, Otto versus Matthews for third. Yeah, this was one, guys. This is why you don't leave. This was the third-place match towards the end on Saturday afternoon. And Otto versus Matthews for third. That was very exciting for 2 minutes and 59 seconds, I can tell you that.
Steve, I'm going to go out on a limb and predict Grant Matthews, Mitch Bader finals at some point in the next 2 years.
Calling your shot.
Also, real quick, yeah, it is Evan Gratz, not Evan Gratz, because I thought Coach Stelt said Gratz when we had him on the show a couple of years ago, so that's all I've been calling him. He never corrected me. And then right. I'm leaving the Kohl Center. I see all the Fenimore people. I said, hey, Gratzy. And someone just said, did he just say Gratzy? Or like Gratz? And I said, that's not how it's pronounced. I pointed at Chad. I said, this guy literally pronounced it like that. You know how embarrassing it is when a group of high schoolers laugh at you? That was, really left taste with state with a sour taste in my mouth, Steve.
Oh, man.
I got over it pretty quick.
Oh, you're good. Well, I can't believe out of all the action that we called. Sorry, I lost my sheet that had stats on for my wrestler of the year. This is killing me. Oh, here it is. I found it. And how many times we've called action and nobody's corrected us until now.
Also, real quick on picks, just to update from the girls. Steve, you were 10 for 12. I was 6 for 12.
For the girls.
It was a rough go for me on picking champions.
That's right. I think you caught back up on the guy side, though.
Well, I caught back up on the D3 side. On D3, I was 13 for 14. One incorrect pick. You were 6 for 14 in Division 3.
Wow, my division.
Yeah, that was a tough go to see that, for sure. Yeah. But Wrestler of the Year, do you want to go first on this?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, why don't you go first?
All right. Again, I have a whole slew of names written down. I mean, Carpenter winning his first one. That's a great story after being a runner-up twice. A crap beating a wrestler like Weiler in the finals. I think that's one of the biggest finals wins. Pomeroy, I think I just had him down because he was my dark horse, and that was a fun run for him. Stelt winning his second and Gratz winning their second. And Stelt, especially in the dominating form he did it in. Was that cool? Ashramik, I also had in there at Steve. I ultimately went with another guy who won their second title, but someone who had just seemed to be a buzzsaw all year and would not be denied. It seemed like he was on another level. So this one I picked based off of year-long dominance.
Yep.
I went with a Jake Fitzpatrick of Aquinas for my D3 Wrestler of the Year.
Teague, that's why I had to go first. I knew I was gonna pick, and Fitzpatrick. I almost picked a co-champ on this one. I almost tried to weasel out of it and pick two of them. And Fitzpatrick would have been right in there. But if I go by year-long dominance, here's what Fitzy has: 20 pins on the year. There's only four decisions, and all four of those decisions were 1 or 2 points away from being major decisions, right? And we know the schedule that Aquinas wrestles, obviously, at the bye state. He dominated this year. But Teague, who is the only champ that dominated more than Fitzpatrick did?
Campbell.
Koji Campbell. You look at the results, and he is an absolute pinner. He's an absolute, like, he's explosive. He can go deep. He can go wherever, you know, he can do whatever he has to do based on the style actually, he wrestles his style, but my wrestler of the year, and odds are good, we're going to have him on the show next year for a four-timer, but I'm going with Koji Campbell as my Division III wrestler of the year.
Knocking on wood right now.
Yeah.
Also, yep. I think it's official, Steve. Vanden Hoffman does win our Refrigerator with Legs award for the year.
Nice.
Hey, Division II, 106 pounds. Shane Rashawn of Dodgeville wins his bi-state rematch. The same score as bi-state. Beats Amory's Weston Ingham 4-2. This was a fun bracket all around. I mean, we got to see Parker Spearings and Jake Jandrin twice. I was Matt's side for their quarterfinals match, which went to the tiebreaker periods. Just a lot of fun matches in this one. But Shane Rashawn, the 54-1 freshman, gets things rolling for the Dodgers.
Yeah, early takedown, quick reversal by Ingham, pulls it. But I tell you what, this one, it was a good match. I thought it was pretty fun, good way to get started off, right? Probably their Dodgeville's best chance of not getting the quartet to happen, right? I think everybody thought on paper. But nice job for Rashawn. Koss Teague from GET, Melrose Mindoro. He was the 7th seed, takes 3rd. So just like to highlight those guys that come in at higher seeds and end up finishing high.
Well, on to 113 pounds. Hakan Peterson, 3 matches, 3 Tech falls. He's still undefeated in season through 2 years of his high school career. Aces off against Ethan Haiti of a Richland Center in the finals, which this was, I think, the 5th time that they wrestled. Peterson got the Tech fall in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. Hakan, a really great kid, and a better kid than I would say a wrestler, and that's saying something. Because he's a very next level wrestler. This was a good bracket to see a lot of wrestlers that I haven't seen this year before. And I guess got to give a shout out to Ethan Haiti making it to the finals. His sister, Emma. This is the last year we'll see both the Haiti siblings at the state tournament, as Emma is a senior this year.
Teague, that was a conference rematch, correct?
Yes.
The conference final. That's pretty nice. Pretty awesome. Congrats to that conference for having two of the same guys. Yeah, Teague, you nailed it. Nice. Is there a nicer kid that is so dominant on the mat? He's just like, he's always smiling, and he's just, you know, very friendly young man. And congratulations. He is just dominant.
And 120 pounds. Dodgeville's Charlie Might ends his undefeated season, beating Wyatt Magolski 5-3 in the finals. And Might, it was honestly, Steve, when we got to this bracket, I was thinking, do I go against Might? And he knows how to win, right? His style of wrestling, again, it's not pretty, but he knows how to win, and he knows how to control matches. And Magolski, it kept it close in the final. Shout out to him for making it, but Might ends up winning his 3rd state title. So congratulations to him. Also, Drake Gazda from Lawson Aceta, Steve. Sorry if I took that from you, but the 10 seed ends up placing 4th in this bracket.
No, you nailed it. You took it, but that's all right. Magolski, great career. Congratulations to him being a senior. Might's just his 2 takedowns in there. You know, you get 2 takedowns in a state championship match, and you're pretty much set. So congratulations. 47-0. Unbelievable.
126, Reed Spurley beats Bob Huntley of Abrillion in the finals, and it's 7-4. I don't think there was a grittier finals win than Mr. Reed Spurley picking up his 3rd title. And how about that semifinal match? Max Gonzalez takes him down once. gets back up, and then Spurley just poured it on the freshman after that, which you went with Gonzalez. I went with Spurley, but I digress. It was a close match. Spurley, I know he was injured a couple of times in the final. He was injured the whole year. But the way that he was able to gut out that win, and again, it came down to mat wrestling. He just showed heart in it. Maybe the whole most hard-fought win of the Dodgeville quartet, right?
Very much so. Yeah, the Teague, that was 4-4 going into the third period. So that was tight.
That was also tight, but one of my favorite moments, as I did pick the Dodgeville quartet. We're done with all the wrestling. Of course, all the people at the brackets were taking their photos or whatnot. I'm about to make my way out, and I just hear a bunch of people like yelling my name. And I couldn't hear because there was an echo in the Kohl Center, obviously. And I look over, and it's the Dodgeville people that we've been chatted up with two boxes over. And they were cheering on, knowing that I support the Dodgers with the picks. And I went over there, and I, you know what? I celebrated quite. It was like, remember the video when Bob Uecker goes into the Brewers locker room and pops the champagne and everything, and everyone goes wild? That was that moment for me, was going into the Dodgeville press box. And that was one of my favorite moments of the state tournament.
That's pretty cool. I picked 75% of the Dodgeville quartet, Teague, so that's all right.
Yeah, I think you, I thought you went 2-for-4.
Oh, maybe I did. I can't remember.
Yeah, you took Jandrin as your underdog pick at the 106 or the dark.
Oh, race. I did. Okay. But but them starting out a duel, wouldn't that be fun? Starting out a duel and you're up 24-0. I mean, that's crazy. But a brilliant 3 medals on the weekend, and they have a lot of really good guys coming back. So they're a team that they can fill in some holes, and they're going to be competitive up in that Northeastern Conference. I'm sorry, Northeastern Sectional, I should say.
132 pounds. Colton Hush, for lack of a better word, hushes his doubter, Steve, as none of us picked him, but he wins his state title after two previous appearances in the finals, beats a Peter Tomajevic of Freedom at 10-4. This is where I had my dark horse pick, Emil. Hush won 4-2, 5-2, and 10-4. So, again, doesn't put on a lot of points, but it seemed like he would not be denied on his final go-around. This bracket had everything that we wanted, Steve, and it was a fun one.
It was fun. Yep, 3-time finalist. Teague, you said it. He got the monkey off his back, and in that final, scores 4 takedowns, which pretty much sealed the deal for him.
Also, real quick here, I know we were at 126, so on a Saturday morning, there was a young wrestler that did leave in a stretcher, and it was Luxembourg Casco's Michael Bostwick. I just wanted to give an update. I talked to Coach Tremel yesterday, and it was basically a precautionary thing. It was a head, neck, back deal, but he was feeling a lot better and in very good spirits on Sunday. So nothing bad came from it. When you deal with stuff like that, you do have to be really cautious with it. So he said it was a precautionary deal. So I know there's a lot of folks asking about it. So Michael Bostwick is okay, folks, and I'm very happy to share that news.
Absolutely.
Sorry, did you go through the 132 bracket already?
No, I didn't. That's good.
All right, yeah, sorry, you go then.
No, I didn't. I already said what I need to say. I just said about congratulations to Hush. Oh, so you were good.
Okay.
Yep, you go to 138.
138. Caleb Adelabrew with a 5C. There's a dark horse to go with. This would have been the one, because he ends up winning his bracket 6-5 in the quarters, 3-1 in the semis, 3-2 in the finals. Postseason trifecta over O'Connell Falls as Cole Bozeal. One of the great finals matches of the evening. And it caps off a great individual career for him. Of course, we'll see him at the Fieldhouse, but it's nice when you can end your individual career at the top of the podium. We got to see what we thought would be our semi-Steve, the founding father, William Penn, versus Bryson Scholes. That ended up being the third place match that Scholes won at 5-3. This was just a deep bracket with a lot of fun wrestling. And Steve, we got to meet William Penn himself.
We did, yep. Made a shirt. Mom made a shirt for him. T, you're putting that on social media, aren't you?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, Adelabrew, fifth seed. He beat Bozeal in the sectionals 3-2, beat him sudden victory 3-1 in the duel. One of those questions of why, you know, fifth seed, kind of talk, people talking about seedings in there, but Delabru, he ends up doing what he has to do and takes home the state championship.
144, Owen Sefrud, 49-0 a junior, wins his last match, a 2-1 over St. Croix Falls as Kellen Kelly. And Steve, we know Kelly, we've seen a couple times where he's just a hard-nosed wrestler. I always felt like Sefrud was a cut above everyone that he wrestled this year, right? I had a feeling if anyone could give him a good match, it might be the St. Croix Falls senior. But Sefrud still ends up getting the victory, 2-1 in the finals. Congrats to him on what ended up being a hard-earned state title for the Darlington Blackhawk Junior. It was funny. I had someone tell me, they said, what is going on with the lifting programs at Darlington and Blackhawk? Because all these guys are built like brick walls.
Yeah, I was going to say brick something else, but they're just, you're absolutely right. T. Kelly, three-time state qualifier as a freshman. He took third, we all know, behind Johnson and Raddins. But as you know, that year, freshman year, only two went to state, so it would have been a four-time state qualifier. And Sefrud, you nailed it, man. He's just a tank. He's very hard to score on. So a one-point or two-point win by him is in a tight match like that is huge.
Division 2, 1-50, Danny Heiser, the Evansville junior, goes 3-for-3, gets his third state title. Of course, he has to beat a Luxembourg guy to do it. He beats Max Ronsman in the finals, a 6-1. I got to give props to Ronsman for keeping it close because not a lot of folks have it this year. But Heiser has just looked amazing all year, of course, even a whole different wrestler than last year when he was a state champion. Ends up getting his third state title, so props to him. Want to give a shout out to Max Ronsman on a great career as well. Making the finals four times isn't easy. I know with one championship in there, I'm sure he wanted to end up on top of the podium more, but I still give him props for wrestling on Saturday evening four times.
Yeah, right on. Ronsman looked good. I mean, he had that rematch with DeRocher in the quarters that was. A couple of guys that take a shout out to is DeRocher, 7 seed, takes third. Number 9 seed, Tayden Holdruff of Baldwin Woodville. He takes 4, so two guys that scored well above their seeds. Teague, who are you calling your shot? So next year, Danny Heiser, who from Luxembourg Casco will he be wrestling in the finals?
Oh, man. I mean, Isaac's a senior. Max is a senior. I'll need to dig deep on that one. Caleb's senior. Yeah, is Bastion going to go hit a growth spurt or something?
Maybe, but yeah, Heiser, one of those guys, just unbelievable. Very good last year, raised his level up a whole nother level this year.
157, Gage the Savage LeSavage from Medford as a junior wins his first state title and what ended up being some Northwest heavy representation at the top. He beats our boy, Steve, Tanner Holupka of Abbotsford Colby. In the finals, went to the tiebreaker period, so Savage ended up winning 6-0. Got to give props to the Medford junior on his state title. And Steve, hey, we got to meet Tanner Holupka, which, you know, finally got to meet him in person. Seemed like a almost mythical being to us, just this guy that we're posting. Right. He was our Paul Bunyan almost, and so glad we got to meet him. And wow, just wrestled like a beast, left it all on the mat in vintage Tanner style. He beat the 1 seed in the quarterfinals, gutted it out over Marco in the semifinals, and just really proud of him to see how he bounced back from that injury last year and ended up making the finals. Steve, this bracket lived up to the hype and then some, though.
Yeah, I just thought it was great. I mean, when Griffin Marco comes in and he's Griffin Marco and Brody Hart are wrestling for 5th and 6th, you got one heck of a bracket, right? A lot of upsets, a lot of close ones when you look through that one. So. Fantastic weight class. And Teague, someone put in the comments, thanks, Mitchell. I totally forgot about this. Danny Heiser cannot wrestle a Luxembourg Casco wrestler because Luxembourg Casco will be Division I next year.
Sad.
Yeah.
Hopefully a match happens at Bi-State or something then.
Sure.
165 pounds, St. Croix Central's Owen Wadsley. Beats Keels Ian DeSellier, who is a two-time finalist now. Wadsley gets the pin in 3:05 in the finals. Two techs in a pin. Steve, we almost incorrectly called it on the broadcast. I'm glad that I caught it, but
right.
Joe just said, it looks like Wadsley fighting off his back or something. I said, no, I think that's Wadsley getting the pin. And
they were wound up a little bit, right? Yeah. Well, I think what he got confused was is DeSalier was up in that one 4-1. I did not see how that happened, but so, you know, I can take why he got confused.
You would think with four matches that we'd be able to keep better track of it. But when it's four really good matches, it's a task that's easier said than done.
Right.
Shout out to Wadsley ending his senior year 56-0. I'm going to give a shout out to Connor Melton from Spooner Webster, who I got to meet basically the entire Melton family this year. And they supplied me with some dots too. So nice. Thank you for that. 175. And all the Mawson.
175 as a Mawson grad. Take it away. Take it away. You bring us through this whole one.
As a Mawson grad who did not pick the Mawson guy to make it out of his sectional, I don't think I heard more about a sectional pick than this one this weekend. And fittingly so, Steve. Going into the finals, a Justin Klinkner of a Two Rivers. He gets a state title to end his career. He beats the 8 seed from Mawson, Nacita, Espen Sweers, up 3-1 in the finals, and it was a crazy scramble at the end. Klinkner ended up winning, like I said, 3-1. Here's my observation about Sweers, is ended up getting the 8 seed, and I think the Mawson folks didn't like the seed, but how do you place them computer-wise ahead of the guys that were ahead of them? Because it was just a really deep bracket. But here's what I learned, Steve, and I hate to sound cliche, but computers just can't measure the heart or the gas tank of a wrestler, and Sweers has a lot of both because he seemed to wear out his opponents. You saw it in both of his matches beforehand. He beat the one seed in a sectional rematch and then beat Kawa 4-3 in the semis, and it was a great run for him to the finals. But Justin Klinkner, I got to end up giving him his flowers here for coming out of this really tough bracket as the champion. Had to beat Keenbaum again. They met plenty of times in the postseason. And again, another fun bracket with a lot of great wrestling throughout.
Yeah, Espen, I just wrote down bracket buster, right? That was a lot of fun. Klinkner, 20th state champion for Two Rivers. So they're up to the 20s there in Two Rivers.
On the 1-90. Battle of the Big Ten recruits in the finals, and Wyatt Ingham of Amory beats Silas Daly of Plymouth 6-5. That one was just a very, very highly technical wrestling. It was a really fun match to watch. That one was a back-and-forth affair. It lived up to the hype, but Ingham came out on top. It was cool that they were both going for their second title as well, but yeah, Ingham ends up getting the victory there. Another deep bracket. I mean, I was mad side when Gillen got that pin upset over Trey Schoenebeck of Luxembourg Casco. Ingham, that 3-0 match with Matthias was a good one. But yeah, anything else on this bracket, Steve?
Well, I just put down two studs, right? I mean, those are two fantastic wrestlers. It's always you're upset that one of them, not upset, but I mean, it's too bad one of them has to go away with the loss. Ingham got that takedown with about a minute left to seal it. Teague, I was just going to make a point of Max Matthias, the sophomore, lost 3-0 to Ingham. I think he is the future. I don't know if he's going to be able to stay at 190, but he is the future of that bigger boy weight class up for Division II.
Also, shout out to our lowest seed to place in this one, the 7th-seeded Ross Christ, who ended up wrestling his way back and a place to 4th in this bracket. 215. We have a rematch here, Steve. Ian Smith, the Big Cat of Northwestern. I was told this plenty of times on Saturday evening. You don't doubt the Big Cat. You made the right pick here. Smith beats Chase Matthias 3-2 in the finals. And you think about a shortened year going against a wrestler as good as the Two Rivers senior, still ends up pulling out the victory. I mean, just impressive heart by him and this championship performance.
Yeah, Ian Smith, sudden victory over Teary. Tyree ended up taking third, right? I mean, that's a – you just – you think of this bracket, it's amazing. Then he wins 3-2, obviously, over Mathias. Chase Mathias' future is football. I know he was a stud. He's a stud on the football field, Teague. I can only imagine that running at you with that frame. Teague, we got to see the tallest match I think you'll ever see. We got to see Tyree and Leisgang, 6'8". That we Leisgang. Know of.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Did I say Leisgang again? I even wrote it right.
No, it is Leisgang. Remember? We got.
No, I meant I wrote Leisgang. I got corrected. You're right. Leisgang. But that's another one where I have been saying wrong all year. I won't throw you under the bus for it. But Leisgang is 6'8" that we know of versus Tyree, 6'4". That was a lot of height on one mat.
Tell you what, Tyree's got to be pretty thrilled to see a lot of seniors in this group. Are we going to see a Tyree-Leisgang finals next year? Also, Steve, Paul loves the hat.
Oh, absolutely. It's beautiful. Then I know it's kind of shiny in there. You might not be able to see it.
285 for the last time ever. Oh, he is 6'9 now. All right.
He is. Okay. Thanks, Travis. It is confirmed. It is confirmed.
I got a picture. And
here's what's scary. He's a sophomore. I know I put on a few inches even after my senior year, for crying out loud. Can you imagine if he grows another inch or two every year?
The picture with me, him, and Spencer Davies from Austin, who was about 5'5", that's an all-time photo for me. And I can't
Someone put in the comments, they said, nice bar graph. I died laughing. That was hilarious.
Oh, man. Only about the 100th joke I made to Spencer about his height in our friendship. Well, Steve, going on to 285 for one last time, we got to see the man, Coy Hopke of Amory, take the mat, albeit not for a long time. But he gets three falls on his way to his fourth state title, gets the pin over Hunter Vanderheiden in 49 seconds. And what else is there to say about his career, man? I mean, we're going to have him on the show. It's been a privilege covering him as has been many of these seniors, but
yep.
went out in very Coy Hopke style.
Yeah. Here's the funny thing. There was a highlight of Coy wrestling thing to Hunter Vanderheiden. Now keep in mind, Hunter Vanderheiden had two very quick pins in a heavyweight bracket. And someone said, oh man, was he even trying? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever had a right-handed Coy Hopke club snap down? And if you haven't, then don't make any comments because Hunter Vanderheiden is an extremely tough wrestler and the future of Teague has, right? The future of that weight class in Division II. So congratulations, Hunter, just a junior, 47-4. He'll be back next year. And Teague, Logan Bachman from St. Croix Falls barely gets out of the first round, gets I think it was a reversal over Sam Keeler of Wright Stout and wrestles all the way back as a 9 seed, wrestles all the way back for third.
And the last note from this one, Steve, your boy from Stanley Boyd, Willie Graham, the Stanley Boyd superstar, makes the podium. At 100 and, what the heck? I almost went right into Division III.
Sure.
Wrestler of the Year, did you want first honors on this one?
Sure, I can go first. There's a lot of weight classes I thought about. I thought 190 or 215 because those were extremely tough weight classes. But, like I said, going off my theme of all year's work, the sentimental value wants to give you a hush. He was a 2-time runner up. My first runner up, as far as someone to give it to, is Håkon Pettersson, right? I mean, the guy is just unbelievable. And the way he does it, it's slick, right? So much fun to watch. But, Teague, just as impressive. I'm sorry. We talked about it last year, and here's what I think happened. I don't know this for sure. Maybe I could give his coach a call. I know him pretty well. But this guy won a state championship last year and then lost at Team State. And he was a really good wrestler last year, right? And I think that loss motivated him to even get better. And like last year, this is him last year. This is him. This is him this year. And it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. So my wrestler of the year, Teague, is Danny Heiser from Evansville.
A good call there, Steve-O. Here's the thing. Love the Dodgeville Quartet. I just included them as a package deal. What they did is beyond just wrestler of the year. They win another award that we need to make up an award for them. It's that kind of grouping, right? I took them out of the picture on it, this one. And Heiser was another thought that I had. Wasley, with his dominance throughout the year, was a pretty impressive. Klinkner had a tough bracket. I mean, a lot of the upper weights here. I mean, you think of Ingham beating Daly in the finals. Smith, another good win over Matthias, too short of a year. Steve, this guy, and I know he's only a junior, but he went through his trials and tribulations, which basically just came in the form of one person. And you could tell he took note to that and improved so that he would be that guy this year. He'd be the person that people wouldn't look forward to. And I just have to give Owen Seffrud his flowers as my D2 sure. Wrestler of the Year for the year that he had and his state championship at 144. So Owen Seffrud, my D2 Wrestler of the Year.
Right on. Just a reminder for people, if they're just tuning in, why did you not pick Coy Hoppy? We do not pick four-timers because we get them on the show. They would obviously be the pick. So we do not pick four-timers. Obviously, easily would have been Coy Hoppy. Tegan, I'm very happy I get two more years to correct Kiel Leisgang. I get to say it properly, right, and redeem myself for the last year. But Sean reminded me, because I got to make sure I get it correctly. Sam, it's Coiler. You know, I love the English language. I wish everybody's last name was Smith and Johnson. It'd be a lot easier. But Sam, apologize for getting your last name incorrect.
So you're going to take a quick break before D1 to talk about the unofficial team score. Iowa Grant Highland won with 110 points. I forgot to bring it up, but they had Biba in the finals, of course, but then their other six qualifiers all ended up wrestling in the third place match. They went 5-1 in the third place round. I forgot to bring that up in D3, but I know folks are iffy on the unofficial team score or whatnot, but it's a fun thing to talk about. So we're gonna party it up a little.
You bet.
And I know you're also a big, we'd be remiss not to talk about it with you because you're a big team.
I like team scores.
Yeah. So Division One. Also, I texted you, Steve, but is 8:30 a hard cutoff time for you?
No, I got about, that's flex. I got about 10 minutes after that. So.
All right. Bet. Well, we'll get through
you
this.
D1, you can rock and roll with. So go ahead. I'll jump in if I have to.
All right. D1, 106, a battle of the freshmen throughout. Came down to the finals where Wilmot Union's William Duchemin beat Kokana's Andy DiPiazza 6-4 in the finals. Goes 1-for-1, and I know it'll depend on how he grows or whatnot, who could he have, but hey, always nice to start off your freshman year with a state title. Enter right yourself very, very early into the four-timer conversation, right? But we'll see how next year goes, but got to see Duchemin for the first time, and he lived up to the hype. It was absolutely awesome to see him on the mat. We got to see Duchemin Rug again. So Duchemin, he beat Rug 5-1 in at the semis. Steve, you just hop in if you have anything, but I'm just going to roll through here.
Yeah, you go ahead. I was just going to say Gavin Meineke. Hopefully I'm saying his last name. I'm very hesitant now with last names. Number 9 seed medals. And Teague, I think I should go back and count it and be 100% accurate, but I think half the time, the 8 or 9 seed, whatever one that was, they ended up going on and getting a medal. So sometimes it's not bad being up in there if you can win that first round.
Good stuff for those middle seeded guys. At Division One, 113, Ethan Abast beats a Brayton Casey in the finals at 9-1. And man, Brayton Casey's a good wrestler, a 3-time finalist. Bast just seems to have been, besides out of state into Fitzpatrick, seems like he's been on another level all year. Another performance from this one, though, got to give a shout out to Thiago Guardiola, who had a lead on Bast in the quarterfinals for a moment. But then Bast started to pour it on a little bit, but the Wilmot Union freshman looked great. He ended up placing at 5th. Ethan Bast wins his first state title. He'll be going for 2 next year. Brain Casey, I'll see you at Team State next week, but I have so many good things to say about you, man, so we'll save that for a different time. 120 pounds. Hudson's Liam Neitzel beats Brown Deer Mesmer Shorewood's Maximus Hay in the finals, 7-2, and Hay left it all out there. I want to say maybe gave Neitzel a run for his money, but man, Hay wrestles tough. I think Hay may have been a popular lower than two seed to make the finals as he beat Schlump 11-5 in the semis. But Neitzel just looks so good, man. And he looked great as he picked up his second state title. This was a deep bracket, by the way. Aiden Ari versus Kale Zielinski in the blood round. Like, that was tough.
Well, that's what I was going to say is Ari and Neitzel was 1 point last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, at sectionals. And Neitzel 10-0 in the quarterfinals. So really, really took it personally, right? So nice job for him.
Also, George Jones of Homestead, who seemed to just really go on a tear to end the year. The 11th seed ends up placing sixth as a sophomore. 126 pounds of the WVC final. Carter Freeman beats Easton Cooper 3-1 in the finals. And Cooper had a battle to get there. I mean, he beat Turner Campbell of Holman 7-5 in sudden victory. Talk about Cooper, a guy that just does not give up. I mean, who had the quote where the third period was just about, like, the third period's about grit or about who has the most heart? I mean, Cooper was down to Campbell right away, came back and won it. Campbell had a close match. I mean, the freshman Kate Auberg looked really impressive on his way to a third place finish. Those two went to overtime in the quarterfinals. That Freeman Cooper match, and Steve, I'll say it on air because I said it on the broadcast too. We got a chance to watch the replay. I got to give props to the official Ryan McGuire because that was a tough call to make, and I think it's a call that, you know, it depends on what side you're on. You view it as right or wrong, right? But it came down to the thinnest of margins, and we can debate it. We can pull up a replay of it, but it's that's one of those positions where officiating is a tough job to envy, but I just want to give him his props as well. And, of course, Steve, Easton Cooper, friend of the show for a while, a great wrestler but an even better kid. If we happen to not see each other, Easton, you have a lot of good things to look forward to.
Yeah, he's going to be
high school career.
Absolutely, do a great job in. He's going down to, I think, Chattanooga to wrestle. Teague, was I wrong? I was wrong with that Neitzel Ari match. I thought it was a 1 point. I got correct.
1 point at regionals section.
Regionals. Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Dylan. Sorry about that.
Going to 132 pounds. Battle of the champions from last year, and Oconomowoc's Kellen Wolbert comes through again. He beats a Lucas Peters of Kaukauna 9-3 in the finals. How do you stop this guy, Steve? I mean, he's really good on the mat. He's even better on his feet. And Lucas Peters is an amazing wrestler. I mean, we had this pegged as the finals match that we both went with opposite picks, but I felt pretty confident about these two meeting in the finals. In terms of guys outside of these two, Nolan Esquiva, the 11th seed, ends up making the semis, ends up placing third, so out-wrestled his seed pretty well. And that's, I guess that's my original thoughts on the bracket. Also, shout-out Devin Leetzow of Sparta for making the semis.
Now, that one, I remember looking it up, that one was a one-point match at the Cheesehead. So that was a 9-3, open up the gap, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Also, one of our biggest seeding upsets, the other one's at 190, but Jonas Longsdorf of River Falls, the 13th seed, beat Chris Anderson of Sun Prairie. It was a pin in 353. 138 pounds, Tyson Peach of Milton, who just looked excellent all year, and you can see it on his profile or whether you saw him in person, he's shown it. Comes in as the 2 seed. I think a lot of people pegged him as the favorite. Showed why, as he beats Nina's Declan Cook in the finals of 5-1. And Cook had a killer cradle on Preston Cradiville, a pin in 5-18 in the semis. I think it was a close match. It was either tied or he had a lead at that juncture. But Cook just really good with some of those positions. Props to him for making the finals. I saw a photo of Cradaville hugging Coach Lancaster on Facebook and made me a little misty-eyed. Still got a couple more years of Cradavilles as little Peyton Cradaville's wrestling on the girls' side, Steve.
Right. Yeah.
How about Edwin Schrader of Oshkosh ends up placing third in this bracket after he comes in as the seventh seed?
Yeah, Oshkosh West, three medalists. Teague, just a great showing by them.
One of 44. Steve, Herm the Worm wins a state title after two runner-up appearances, and he has been promoted to Herm the Destroyer. As I talked, first of all, he pinned Sarbacher of the Stoughton in the finals in 3:37. He just looked impressive throughout. But I was talking to Kluskins about it. He said, yeah, I don't think he's really a fan of that nickname, which, you know, some of them stick, some of them don't. And I was like,
right.
Well, and I think I told Kyle, I'm like, well, then he can tell me himself, Kyle. And he didn't. So the Nina folks took it upon themselves to name him Herm the Destroyer. So RIP that nickname. Credit to Jacob Herm, a two-time finalist, but now this year ends up finishing off his junior campaign at the top. Also, highly recommend. There's a video of Coach Kluskins mic'd up in the finals, and it was absolutely awesome to watch.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, Herm, three falls and a major. Teague, I learned something new. My first year of coaching, I coached at Kimberly High School. I coached with one of the most fantastic human beings in this world, and that's Chris Rundquist. And he coaches with Nina. I was so happy. I was so happy I was literally crying. He used to live in Freedom, and every time I drive by that house on my way to my brother's house, I look and I go, I always say to my wife, I wonder what Chris is doing now. And there he was. He came up, started talking to me, and I was just happier than a pig in slop, man. So Chris Rundquist, little shout out. He is a great man.
I would love to hear it. At 150 pounds, we get to see him next week, but the Du Chateau show ends off his individual career with his third state title. Wyatt Du Chateau beats Henry Niebauer of Hortonville 10-5 in the finals. And what else is there to say about Wyatt? I mean, he is one of the best wrestlers that I've gotten to see the last few years. And here's some credit to Henry from Hortonville, though, Steve. He left it all on the mat in the finals. He does not back down in any of his matches. I mean, that's how he got the win over Ramos in the semis, which was a great match. And 10-5 with Du Chateau. I personally would take that as a result. And credit to Niebauer. That's a great last match to go out. Maybe not the result he wanted, but I think he has a lot to be proud of at the end of the day.
Teagan, two high seeds in this one. Number 12 seed, Aiden Zerbel of Waukesha North. He made the semis, ended up taking third place. And number 10 seed, Cole Reed of Muskego, took fifth.
Going to 157 pounds, Charlie Millard of Homestead, which maybe we won't say best dressed, but the most fashionable coaches in his corner. He wins his second state title, a 9-3 over Ray Golmatico of Arrowhead, who Golmatico, look at this run to the final, Steve. 3-2 over Blake Bankston, 6-4 over Peyton Lee of Kakana in the quarters, and 12-8 over the 2-seed Damiano Capellini. What a run for him to the finals. But you're going against Millard, and Millard, he's just on another level, of course. So congrats to Charlie for his second state title. Also, a shout-out to Capellini, because I think some folks were wondering how he ended up with the 2-seed. Ended up placing third, so I think he proved his worth in this bracket. Also, Rylan Schneider ended up making the podium. Like Sean said in the chat, Steve, first time in school history, three medalists for Oshkosh West.
Right, and first state medalist for Madison. I don't know, Teague will have to look this up at another time, but first state medalist for them in a long time. So that's a good step up for that program as well.
All right, at 165, Steve, we went opposite here in a battle of the undefeated. The final came to fruition, and Liam Crook of Kakana, the Crookster, wins a 4-1 over Caleb Denny of Marshfield. Denny had to win the battle of the Calebs in the semis, 9-7 over Caleb Cady, but Liam did it in a Liam fashion, right? He hit that patented tilt, or not patented, just his vintage tilt that he seems to be just automatic with. And Denny, of course, didn't back down in the third, but Crook was able to hold on. winning a state title as a sophomore in this bracket, there's something to be said about that, Steve. So shout out to Liam for his state title.
Yeah, Liam and Connor O'Donnell, Teague, you talked about it. I can't remember. I should have wrote down the year, but you said South Milwaukee's first medalist in
like 2006. 5 or 6.
Yep, 2006. So congratulations to them.
Yeah. Yeah, shout out. One last shout out to Con the Don on a great career. 1-75, another multi-time champion as a Jake Stoffel of Appleton North gets the victory over Ben Ott of a Nicolet 6-2 in the finals. I managed to give Jen Ott one more good juju hug as this is her last wrestling event as a parent, which one of the great sports moms in my mind.
Yeah,
and that was a tough hug to give, I would say. You know, you have a lot of finals here at the state tournament, but shout out to Ott for making the finals this year. He got a big win over a Janesville Parker's Caden Brandenburg. 3-2 in the semis. I mean, it was even 12-9 over Griesbach in the quarters. Right. Johnny Botch also made the podium from Beast, to placing 5th in this bracket.
Yeah, you took all my notes, Teague. I literally had that down. So
I got to say, it was fun. Brandenburg and Sprangers as the 2-7. That was a match that I expected a lot out of, and they delivered. D1, 190 pounds. Connor Mirasola. He gets the injury, a default victory over Ethan Winkleman of Hudson. I'm going to talk more about this after we're done with all the weight class and we pick our wrestlers of the year, but I want to give a shout out to Connor on his 4th state title. It's been a great career. I mean, you talk about his accomplishments, Steve. It's hyperbolic, right? Just with what he's done in his career. And did talk to him. I'm excited to have him on the show. But I hope they don't play a prank where Cole comes on the show and not Connor or something. So I'm crossing my fingers that that doesn't happen.
I think we should have them both on, Teague, but we'll let Connor decide that.
And yeah, we'll talk. Like I said, I'll talk more about this finals bracket later. We also have, I think, our biggest first round upset. Aiden Needham of Hortonville beat Kyler Tritz, pinned him in 5 minutes, 20 seconds. I think it was a close match, or Tritz had the lead at that point. But Hortonville, a fun first round for them on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, 11 seed Reed Folk of, M, starts with an M. Oh, my gosh, Teague. Middleton, thank you. Sophomore took 5th. And, you know, Teague, I know you're going to talk more about it, but Winkleman, he had one awesome year. So any other year, he's probably a state champion if you don't have a Mirasola in your way.
At 215 pounds, Milton's Aiden Sinclair ends off his career with 3 state titles, undefeated senior year. He beats the sophomore Garrett Kofchinski 16-8 in the finals. And what a fun bracket this one was. I mean, McCarty Grolke went to Sun Victory in the quarters. Jesus Gonzalez had a close match over Jackson Johnson in the quarters. Gonzalez ends his career 34-1, placed 3rd. And what was a deep 215-pound bracket. But ultimately, Steve Sinclair, what a fun guy to watch, but also an even more fun person. I mean, his interview was hilarious afterwards. I shared the live broadcast, and I don't know how you can skip forward on it, but highly recommend checking out Aiden Sinclair's interview. He references potentially taking down his grandma in that one, which that's all the context I'm going to leave, and it's not bad, I promise you.
Yeah, it's so easy. Yeah, 11 seed Jackson Johnson Sub Prairie took 4th. Teague, you would nail that. He's so much fun to watch, and I've yet to talk to him in person. Maybe that was one of those guys we got to get on the show too. But it'd be must see TV. But everybody that's around him just said he's hilarious. He's one of the hardest workers, and just all around great kid.
And going to a 285 West Bend West, Cole Mirasola beat Brock Arndt 7-4. And Steve, you got to see that battle on the bay. Arndt is not afraid to bring it against these hammers. And what a great match to end the evening off with, as the fans voted for 106 to start. But Mirasola does get the victory. He still looked like he controlled the match, right? But you see, you have a 3-point match with the Mirasola, and I think you have a lot that you can hang your hat on at the end of the day. Arndt had to beat Grant Stromberg 9-3 in the semis. And, of course, one last shout-out here. Party on, Garth Martell. as the Oshkosh West senior made the podium in his last year.
Yeah, Teague, you said it was 17-6 the first time they wrestled, 7-4 this time. You know, there really was never a question, but it was just nice to see. Respect to Brockhart for coming out. But Cole Mirasol is like, it's just impressive how fast he is, right? How fast he can just move from side to side and transition wrestle. But congratulations for that. And yeah, Teague, you mentioned Grant Stromberg, otherwise known as Larry. Man, he really improved from last year as well after his sixth place finish.
And Steve, that's what we have for D1. So we have our wrestlers of the year, and we're not done after the wrestler of the year. So we'll be talking in just a moment about a couple other things.
Folks, I'm gonna give my wrestler of the year. Listen to Teague's, and then I'm gonna bow out for everybody. Teague's got a couple cool things that he does at the end of the year at this time. But it's well worth staying on. Teague, I was wondering if maybe I reach through the computer and we make a mutual. Do we just have a four-way tie for the wrestler of the year in this one?
I mean, what were you thinking on this one?
Okay, so here's the deal.
We don't pick four-timers. Yeah.
We don't pick four-timers. Yep. So Connor is out, right? We're going to have him on the show, just like Coy and Dawson Johnson. But Teague, you're looking at this. There's four guys on here, all dominated. All are amazing. We got one 2-timer and 3 3-timers. It's how do you pick against it, right? Do we just say it's a four-way tie for all four of them?
I mean I was kind of stuck between a few. And
well, Charlie Millard, dominant. Aiden Sinclair, dominant. The Duchateau show, otherwise known as Wyatt Duchateau, dominant. Cole Mirasola, dominant. Right? I mean, what do you want to?
You know what, Steve? I'm fine on this one because everyone's going to have their own picks. I think it's okay because I was kind of rotating between those. I was leaning towards Sinclair because I don't know. I can't remember who we've ever picked because we don't keep track of it, and then we do it on like the day where our brains are fried. So
sure. Well, Sinclair, I guess you could say, is the number one ranked wrestler in the country, right? So there's a way to look at it, but yeah, it's going to be fun to watch all four of these guys and then some, right, at the next level. So it's going to be kind of cool. It's going to be kind of cool to say, man, we used to watch those guys.
I went with Duchateau last year. I was stuck between Mirasola. I'm going to take Sinclair on this one because I don't think I picked him, and he's a guy that should probably have something.
I originally picked Charlie. I had Charlie Millard and Aiden Sinclair down, but then I was like, those are my two that I was going to choose from and go opposite of you. But then I went, wait, but why? That's right. As you were doing this, I'm going, why Duchateau is a 3-timer? Oh yeah, Cole Mirasola is a 3-timer, right? So forgot about it.
Well, all right. That is our wrestler of the year picks. Steve, while you're still on, we're doing our team state show next week. We're doing our team state preview. We'll say Wednesday for now. We can plan out the scheduling later. But yeah. Anything else, Steve, before you head out?
No, Teague, go ahead and everybody, what Teague's going to cover here right now is really, really good. So, I hope you tune in. I like it. He does this every year, like I said, and it's awesome. So folks, I appreciate you, and we'll see you either Wednesday or Thursday.
All right. Bye, Steve.
Bye.
All right. Before we get into the last thing here, I do want to talk about 190 a little more. I want to finish off the weight class a little bit, but I heard at 190 pounds, and I just want to give people context on it. I heard that there was some booing. I couldn't hear it with the headset on. But I heard that there was some booing, and I just wanted to fill people in with some context. I just got to say, for perspective, I know as fans, and I know probably as fans of Connor Mirasola, we wanted his last match to be a match where they, you know, went on the mat and wrestled and got after it, which for Connor, that does stink. And I got to say, Connor, no matter what he was feeling, I give him props for how he handled that and how he took it with class, and he still got to have his moment. For the people that were booing, a little upsetting. I just want to fill you in, I guess. You know, I don't know the most about technique. Obviously, with predictions, I'm not always right. But if there's one thing I do know, it's people. And I've had the great pleasure of following Ethan Winkleman from Hudson the last 3 years. And you talk about a great guy. I mean, you see it in his results. I've seen it in how he's improved each and every time that I've got to see him on the mat in person. And on top of that, he's a great kid. And I know, folks, it's a match that we all wanted to happen. And I have to say, aside from Mirasola, no one wanted that match to happen more than Hudson's Ethan Winkleman. And it was a tough choice for a guy who, I mean, he got a pin to win for his team the week before. For a guy who's done so much and is very caring of others, he had to make a business decision where, you know, I respect him for looking out for number one, looking out for himself in this one, and I don't envy the situation that it came in. But I have to tell everybody, Ethan Winkleman wanted that match more than anybody. And when Connor got announced as the champion, I stood up and clapped it just like everyone else. But I also took the time to watch Winkleman as he made his way to the hallway. And you could tell how he looked. And we talk about a lot of highs throughout the season. And that's where I cut off with that story. I just want to fill everyone in on that, because at the end of the day, we're talking about high school kids, right? And a lot of good high school kids at that. So Lord forbid if this situation ever happens again, or someone gets hurt in the semis and something like that happens in the finals. You know, it's about control what you can control. Connor handled it great, and Ethan taking the mat out there, letting Connor take the mat as well. I mean, they both handled it about as well as they could, and I'm so proud of them for how they went about that. But going off of that, there's a lot of lows in wrestling, especially on a Saturday evening, even before that. But you make it to the finals, especially as a senior, and it's just really, it can be a tough way to go out if you don't win it, even if you're an underclassman. And I think of so many people that come to mind, whether they finished second multiple times, they finished second their last time. You see the emotions. And someone a few years ago on the forum posted something amazing. And if you've been with us in years past, you know what we're going to be getting into. But a few years ago, after the 2021 season, John Gunderson, who was a state champ from Baraboo, I believe, at 182 pounds, his dad wrote something on the forum, and it was just the best thing I've ever read on the forum, bar none, for one. But he wrote something called "The Other Guy on the Mat," so I'm going to read this and just sign off right after. So, you know, I guess I'll catch you on the flip side and all that. But thank you, everyone. It's been a great individual year. Of course, we have our Team State preview stuff on Wednesday and whatnot. And then we get all sentimental next week about the end of the year. But we got to try to save it a little bit. But I like to read this every year just to get perspective. We love to recognize the highs. And for the guys and the girls now that, you know, you're not feeling the highest at the moment, this one's for you. So written by John Gunderson's father after John won the state title in 2021, titled "The Other Guy on the Mat." With the blow of a whistle and a slap of the mat, my son's dream of being a state champion was finally realized. We've seen a lot of crazy celebrations at the end of big matches, and it was John's turn to do the same. He released his grip of his opponent, jumped up, flexed, pointed over to the mat side cameras and to COVID-empty bleachers, and finished things off with a breathtaking backflip. No. He released his grip, and before getting up, his moment was interrupted by the awareness that he was not the only one on the mat. The other boy was still on his back, hands over his head. One boy's dreams had been realized, and another's had been swept away. Pivoting to stand up, John stopped, turned back, and reached down to pat his opponent on the arm. It wasn't much, but with that short expression of encouragement, the other boy immediately worked to his feet, and they each made their way to the center of the mat. I've always wondered how John might react to winning such a big match. Apparently no different than any other. He walked to the center circle, shook hands with his opponent, and offered another pat on the shoulder. Each wrestler went to the opposing corner to shake hands with coaches before crossing paths one final time. Another handshake, and this time reciprocating pats on the back. Respect. Nice. Now, I'm not really intending to make a statement against celebrating a big win. I think I would have. But wrestling, unlike any sport I know, has a distinct loser. The win is all yours and for all to see. And so is the loss. John has known the thrill of many victories, but he's also known the agony of falling just short. Until Saturday, he had never won a state title. People sometimes dismiss the significance of the youth state tournament compared to the high school experience, but in our memories, it was very big. It was held at the Alliant Energy Center with stadium seating and under big lights, creating a larger-than-life experience. John made the finals there as well. Three times. He lost each time, always close matches, once in the final seconds. Those losses were devastating to him. Each time he thought it was his time to win. After that third loss, we left the tournament and tried to distract him with a special stop in Madison to Applebee's. The family ate well that night, celebrating a great tournament. John sat in the car to cry instead. John lost in the high school finals as well. The memory is vivid, being just last year. He had decisively won every match throughout the season before knocking off the top-ranked favorite in the semifinals. Then came those finals again. 2 minutes in, and I could see he was having some sort of blood sugar issue or something. Maybe his opponent brought it out of him. But I had never seen him like that before. He was dizzy, confused, and running on autopilot. He kept looking over at me with fear in his eyes, like he wanted me to do something. I couldn't help. Somehow he was leading 5-2 with 2 minutes to go, but I knew he was done. The kid who hadn't given up a takedown in 36 matches throughout the season gave up 3 in the final 2 minutes. He could have given up 30. Deep in the bowels of concrete hallways of the Cole Center, John cried again. The deep kind. The kind that makes a dad wonder why we do this. But character is forged through the fires of adversity. We learn from losses. John said in a newspaper interview last week that he went through a period when he had to learn that his identity was not in wrestling. He said that wrestling is something that he does. It's not who he is. These are not new concepts to us or to him, but I think he resonated with Olympic champ Kyle Snyder, who after losing in the finals of the World Championship said he was not defined by his wins or by his losses, but by his relationship with Jesus. John said something similar for the paper. For that, I'm glad Kyle Snyder had a big loss. And for that, I can be glad that John had a big loss as well. I'm not sure you learn things like that through winning. We need the losses as well. As John and I sat together back in the bowels of Kekauna High School, waiting our turn for the finals, trying to stay positive and relaxed, wrestlers from the smaller weight classes were finishing their matches. Jubilant winners were soaking it up in the gym, celebrating with family or being interviewed by reporters. Others were making their way back by us, finding secluded spots to have their moment to cry. Really good wrestlers. Nationally acclaimed wrestlers. Deep cries. Gulp. Eventually, it was time to make our way to the gym. Another top wrestler in the hallway, on all fours, in exhausted agony. Reminders all around us of what was at stake in a championship match. At least for a time. Well, John wrestled, and he wrestled well. But he did not wrestle alone. He did not beat a clock or a team. There was a winner and there was a loser. We didn't know much about the boy John wrestled in the finals. We knew he was an outstanding wrestler. He qualified for state all 4 years. He got third last year. He went 60-2 over his last 2 years, both losses to the same nationally ranked wrestler. John was 50-1 over the same stretch. It wasn't even matchup. The other boy deserved a title just as much as John. He too had put in the work, and he too had experienced loss. I'm glad I didn't look it up ahead of time, but I later read an article that said he lost an older brother to cancer 10 years ago. Wow. Maybe he had great composure after his finals loss because John was so nice. Or maybe it was because this young man has taken his own path in learning there are bigger things in life than wrestling matches. We've learned a lot of things through this journey in wrestling. We're glad to learn a few things through a big win this time. What joy and satisfaction in setting high goals and achieving them. It was quite an evening, but on the long ride home, John was drawn to talk about how bad he felt for certain kids who fell just short that night, though just as deserving. another pat on the back. The jubilance of winning is not diminished by acknowledging those around you. They faced what was at stake in trying to do something remarkable. Our deepest respect to those who fell just short on our big day. You are much more to us than just the other guy on the mat.